be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
It's good to see you. On this Sunday, which is the 26th of September, is that the right date? Am I right? I thought so. If it wasn't, it would change the whole sermon. We commemorate St. John the Evangelist. You hear on a number of Sundays the Holy Gospel according to St. John. John is the writer of this Gospel. We call them the Evangelist because he proclaims good news. He was also the writer of the Book of Revelation. The Book of Revelations was revealed to him. But we're not going to talk about the Book of Revelations today. I'll let Father Herman decide when the time is right to do things such as these, because that's his level of expertise. We are going to talk about this gospel and John the Evangelist, the evangelizer, and you, the evangelist. John, the evangelizer, we say he proclaimed good news, and the good news that he proclaims is who Jesus Christ is. Now, that might sound very simple, but there is at least close to 1,000 churches that proclaim themselves as Christians, different kinds of churches. They're all over the place. I don't have to tell you about them. You go home today, who's ever not driving, if they watch, you'll see at least a couple of them. I think you could probably see one right from here, down the street there. And if you visited these churches and you listened to what the minister might say or the people might say, they would tell you a lot of things about Jesus that are different than what you'll hear in this church. Sometimes they sit and they read the Bible and they go around the room and say, well, what do you think he means by that? And what do you think he means by that? And you'll end up with a half a dozen different things about Jesus that happen to be somebody's opinion but don't necessarily happen to be true. If you read the Gospel of John, it will tell you just exactly who Jesus Christ is. That he is the Son of God, that he was born of the Virgin Mary, and that he became man so that our lives might not end here, but so that we might have eternal life. And he talks about all the things Jesus has done and continues to do to make things right. Because in case you haven't put on the news, whether you watch Fox or CNN or MSNBC or CNN, whatever you watch, the news from whatever channel or whatever you download seems not to be very good. I don't remember the last time I put on the news and the broadcaster came on and said, good news today. I don't remember the last time that happened. In fact, I don't remember if that ever happened in my lifetime. But John proclaims the good news that, as a matter of fact, Jesus is born, he lived, performed many things, made many things right with people that were wrong with him. He died, he was crucified, and rose from the dead so that ultimately we would live in goodness. We would live in brightness. We would live in the kingdom of God forever. Today, in this church, you're going to live in the kingdom of God. As we celebrate the liturgy, things will be made right for you because heaven and earth become the same place. There was a man in one of our churches who seemed, at least on his own testimony, to think that he had the ability to see things other than things that other people couldn't see. And when he saw me, he told me he saw two evil things standing behind me, following me around all the time. Maybe his glasses weren't working and the evil thing he saw was me, I don't know. But he said to me, the only time those went away and he saw peace around me was when I came into the church. And then it was as if everything had been put right and been put back into the proper place. I don't know if he really saw those things or he was a legend in his own mind. But as a matter of fact, what he said about things being right and things being put in their proper place when we're in the church and when I'm in the church, as well as all of you, is exactly right. Because then we're with God in the heavenly kingdom. Out there we can be with him too. But as a matter of fact, when we walk out there, we're in battle. We call that the church militant. And this is part of the church triumphant. I'm saying this to you this morning because, as a matter of fact, you too have to be the proclaimers of good news. You listen to the gospel that I read this morning. It said, I repeated what John said, and that was that he supposed that Jesus did many other things. Suppose all the books of the world could not contain them. I know this to be true because he made you. He made all of you. He made your priests. He made his family. He made all of you. And these are some of the things that Jesus did that all the books of the world can't contain. And when I said he made you, and this is a miracle, in making you, he made another chapter, additional chapters of the Bible that people could read even if they don't know how to read words. What do I mean when I say that? That, as a matter of fact, if they want to see Jesus, the lover of men, who gives himself up for people, they can see him if they watch you. And if you agree to allow yourselves to be the good news proclaimer, the giver of good news that John the Evangelist was, they can see Jesus that fed the hungry in you, if you allow yourself to be a window and an instrument by which our Lord continues to feed people. There are many, many other things. But you have to be in agreement. It's true Jesus made you to do these things, but he also gave you free will. You can be the person that reflects Jesus. You can be the person who does what our Lord tells us to do, or you can be someone who chooses to do whatever you please. When I visit churches such as these, I found both kinds. Inevitably, I'll go to church, and somebody will come and tell me what they think the priest should do, what the people should do, and they like to tell me what they think I should do. And then I go to the same churches, and in the same churches, there's people that come and talk to me about what God wants us to do. John the Evangelist stayed very close to Jesus, so that as a matter of fact, he could do the things Jesus did, wanted done, and he could say, proclaim the things Jesus wanted proclaimed, so all of us might be saved. Now, whether you're saved or not, of course, the ultimate decision on the final day is our Lord. But you have to choose. You have to want to be saved. Our Lord wants to save everybody. If somebody tells you that our Lord doesn't want to save everybody, they're incorrect. Our Lord loves us the same way fathers and mothers love their children and go the extra mile for their children. Our Lord loves us that way, and he will do everything possible to make sure that we're saved. But we cannot be saved unless we are in agreement and we're close to him. John the Evangelist was known, and in his younger days, to stay very close to the shoulders of our Lord. And it wasn't only because he wanted to be close to him physically, he wanted to be close to him in all ways. But brothers and sisters in Christ, you have to once again make a decision. Who do you want to be close to? Do you want to be close to the world? Do you want to be close to the enjoyment of these worlds? Do you want to be close to money? You can. You can be close to these things. But before you're close to these things, you must be close to our Lord. If you're only close to those things and you forget the Lord being close to these things, then, as a matter of fact, you're heading down an evil path, far away from a place where you'll be saved. I'm going to leave you with something. I'm going to leave you with somebody. I'm going to leave you with Father Herman, as I do every year when I come here. Leave you with Father Herman so that, as a matter of fact, you can continue to work out your salvation with the Lord. And Father Herman will continue to stay here to convince you to make the right choices. Sometimes it seems like he's nagging. I'm glad. He's nagging. You know, my dad, God rest his soul, and my mother, God rest her soul, they nagged me. But they didn't nag me because they liked to nag. They nagged me because, as a matter of fact, they wanted the things to go right with me. I'm leaving Father Herman here to nag you in a good way, that things might go right with you, that you might be people who make the right choices. Choose the kingdom of God. As brothers and sisters,